Hi everybody, Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Vanessa Brooks. Vanessa is a mother of three children living in Boca Raton, Florida, who wrote a fascinating op-ed piece in the Jewish Press. It was called When Yeshiva Day School is No Longer a Viable Option. Vanessa, thank you for coming on the program. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, what compelled you to write the article?
I started blogging about a little over a year ago about our own personal situation with yeshiva tuition. And my blog caught the attention of somebody at the Jewish Press, and they contacted me and asked me if I would be like to write an op-ed and sort of base it on my blog and add some new stuff. And I said, sure.
Now, what kind of response have you gotten to it? Have you gotten any response?
I've had a lot of response, overwhelmingly supportive and positive. A lot of people who said, you hit the nail on the head, we're going through the same thing, we don't know what to do. Very few negative responses, but the people who expressed negativity were people who either had never been in the position where they had no choice but to remove their kids from day school, or people who are generally negative about everything.
Okay, so now how many, you have all three of your children are going to day school at the same time right now?
No, we actually pulled all three of our children from day school.
Right, but they were at one emergency.
They
at the
were,
time.
Yeah. Oh,
they were, so all three were going to day school, and you were there, and then you took them out of the school. And you put them in the charter school, the Ben Gamla school, which has gotten tremendous publicity down in Florida, correct?
Not really.
Okay, let's take that back. I'm sorry, folks. Okay, that's not what happened.
When I wrote the article, that was the plan. Ben Gamla has a number of charter schools in existence in South Florida.
Right.
And last year, there was a lot of talk about opening one here in Boca. And I actually spent a large part of the last school year on a committee with a group of amazing, really committed individuals trying to come up with a viable plan for an after-school Judaics program for when the Boca Ben Gamla was to open. And the idea was that this would be on the same campus as the charter school, so that kids going to Ben Gamla would be able to seamlessly move into Limudei Kodesh as soon as the secular day was over and have an hour and a half to 2 hours of Judaic, proper Judaic, yeshiva-level learning every single day right after the regular day was over.
Okay. So
unfortunately,
now, didn't work out.
It didn't happen. The Boca Ben Gamla did not open.
Okay, why didn't it open, by the way? Was there any reason for that?
You know what? The official reason given by Peter Deutsch, who's the man behind it, is that he did not believe he would get enough kids to make the school worthwhile financially.
Mm-hmm. How many other Ben Gamla schools are there down there? I know they're down in South Florida, so how many are there?
I believe there are four, possibly five now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, and, you know, I've met with Peter Deutsch and other people, I thought I was under the impression that there was a religious component attached to the Ben Gamla schools. Volunteer, parents can volunteer, but they had a very successful after-school program that was in conjunction with it. Is that not true?
It is partially true. The Ben Gamla Inn Plantation, which is the school that I had registered my kids for this year as our Plan B, has an after-school program which is run by a rabbi who I believe is affiliated with Chabad. And some of the people that I know whose kids have gone to the program felt that it was on a much lower level than their kids needed because they'd been through yeshiva. So from what I understand, it's a great program for kids who don't have a lot of a background, who need the kiruv, who need something a little more, but it's not an intensive program. They're not, you know, really, they're not going to be sitting learning Mishnah and Gemara and Chumash, you know.
I see. But now I thought there was another program through the Afikim Foundation where they have a more intensive program.
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware of. Okay, so that's what I thought. I thought that's what it was. So there is a program, but not at the level that you think that kids who are coming out of yeshiva really are going to benefit from that.
Right. Okay,
so therefore, based upon that, you decided that, you know, that maybe we should try to see what we can do about it. And you were saying in your article that you got a lot of pressure. First of all, that there were teachers who were being talked about who might be tutors, and they were getting pressure from the yeshivas that were teaching at, saying, don't go there, you can't teach there.
Right. I can tell you that while I was on this committee, we approached a number of different rebbeim in the community who, are currently teaching either at schools or in various institutions. And, the person who was really heading up this committee was able to say to them, we want you to come, we want you to lead this program, this could be the start of something national, we can offer you a real salary. And every single person that we faced, that we spoke to, turned us down. Even if they were being offered a salary that was much better than what they're earning right now, because they were scared about how it would impact the future of their career, and if this didn't work out, that they felt they would never be able to go back to a day school or to a yeshiva.
So it was really, it was more like an internal decision that some of these people made, or I thought, from reading the article, I thought what happened was that you have a teacher, let's say, who teaches in a day school. Naturally, they're finished at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. You approach them and say, how about teaching from 3 o'clock till 5:30, 6 o'clock? And they were getting pressure from the local yeshiva saying, you can't do that. That's not what happened.
Right. So I was told last year that one of the day schools locally had sent a letter to their teachers telling them that they did not want them to go and teach Jewish kids who had been pulled from day school and were put into public school. So that did happen. It was with at least one of the schools down here.
Okay.
I was contacted by a couple of people from other schools here who said that absolutely did not happen in our school. So it clearly was not across the board, but there was certainly a feeling among some of the teachers that they were scared to offer their services to kids in public schools to agree to accept these kind of positions, yeah.
Okay. Now, I've heard people describe, I was at a conference and I heard somebody say, let's call a spade a spade, and the charter schools, they're not charter schools, they're public schools. Let's call them what they are. But that's really not true, is that?
Well, it is true in that, you know, as a public school, they have to accept anybody who registers, who applies, and who gets in based on numbers. So there is that aspect. I think they're different to a public school because in addition to teaching Hebrew language, they have Sherut Leumi girls who are there to teach about Israel. So they learn Israeli history, they learn Israeli culture. And
now, how does that work? I mean, Sherut Leumi, they send them over here, and their job is to teach in a Ben Gamma school.
Right. So it's similar to the day school that my kids were in had Sherut Leumi girls also.
Yeah, exactly, right. We have them all. Right.
So presumably that money is coming from Ben Gamma. It's not coming from the public school system.
Right. Well, probably, I mean, the Sherut Leumi, the program is funded in Israel probably by the Jewish Agency.
Right.
And they're sending teachers, they're sending people over for a shlichut for a year or two or whatever it is, right?
Right. So the whole atmosphere in a Ben Gamma school is very different to being in a local public school. There's obviously a lot of Israelis who put their kids there, secular Israelis, maybe intermarried Israelis, who want their kids to at least be aware of Jewish and Israeli culture and tradition, even if they're not, you know, observant themselves. So it's a very different feel to walking into a public school. There's pictures on the wall of Israel. There's calendars of the Hebrew months with kids' birthdays, you know, and when they fall in the Hebrew calendar as opposed to the secular calendar and stuff like that.
So let's say that in some of the Ben Gamma schools, because you sound like you're really familiar with it, I mean, what percentage of the kids were actually Jewish?
So that depends on the school. I believe the Plantation School is a relatively high percentage of Jewish kids, and then there are a number of local kids who are not Jewish who are in the school, who registered for the school after the first year because it's a much better school than the local public school. It's not such a great area. So clearly if these kids could get into a charter school that was going to be better, that's what they wanted to do. It's a very mixed school. The school in Boynton Beach, which is the other one relatively close to where we are, has a higher percentage of Jewish kids.
And how does it work? If you send your kid to the charter school, there's no cost for that, right? Correct?
Right. It's free.
Absolutely free. Okay.
Yep.
And just like going to a public school. Exactly.
Absolutely.
The same thing. And they get, and they in the charter school get a certain amount from the state, whatever it is, and that's how they fund it, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, one of your really concerns in the article, and I understand this, is that you're saying the reality is that there will be always a certain amount of kids who are going to go to these schools because financially, you know, it's all financially driven, and people can't afford to pay the tuition. So, therefore, the community has a responsibility to educate these kids better than not educating them, and you found that you weren't getting any assistance, or you're getting very little assistance from the local rabbis and other people, correct?
Right. I feel like people, and I know the rabbis argue that a lot of the people who choose to go to public school or charter schools don't care enough, you know, that they don't want to spend the money on a Jewish education for their kids. And I think that might be true for a small percentage of people, but I think that in reality, the majority of observant Jewish people who have no choice and have to remove their kids do want some kind of a Jewish education for their kids. And they may not be able to afford a private tutor, but in a situation where there is a communal class taking place and the cost is split between a dozen families, they would be more likely to do it. The issue is that the rabbis want people to come to them. They don't want to start something. And I feel like a lot of parents today, they're not going to group themselves. They're not organized enough. They are not going to get a group of 10 or even 5 families together and go to the rabbi and say, here we are, give us a class. They want the rabbi to come to them, which is perhaps unrealistic, but it's, right, it's the way the world works. So you have one or two people who've spoken to rabbis, and the rabbis all say, let everybody come to me. There's been a couple of attempts to get things going, none of which have worked out for various reasons. And, you know, as this is our first year out of day school, I'm not completely familiar with why or how.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if something was coming from the top, and if the rabbis gave the idea, at least, that they approve in some way, that it would make a very big difference. And
I guess, you know, we have to kind of look at it from, you know, the other side, which is, you know, we've built this wonderful educational model, and it's pretty successful. I mean, financially, we're trying to figure out how we make it work, but educationally, it's a nice model. So you can't, you're the rabbi of the synagogue or the community, you can't encourage people to go to the charter school.
I don't think anybody expects the rabbi of a community to encourage people to go to a charter school or to a public school, but I think that it's wrong for rabbis to, you know, give a sermon on Shabbos or in Rosh Hashanah and to tell people that they have to give up everything and that they have to keep their kids in day schools, that you can no longer, you know, you can't buy a coffee out, you can't do anything, you must keep your kids in day schools, that you are killing their Jewish future. And you have people sitting there who really have given up everything. And I don't believe that we should be forced to get to the point of losing our homes just to keep our kids in a school system that's not sustainable.
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, there's no question about that, that we have a serious issue, a real serious issue, and we're trying to find ways of dealing with these issues. And, you know, the charter schools were certainly one alternative and one option, and and I understand you. I understand your concern. I really, really do. I mean, reading the article, you couldn't help but just feel for you and for others, so many who are in that situation. And we've got to find some kind of solutions. And there's that fine line between the people who can't afford it and we should be helping them, and people who want to send their kids to an alternative school. I mean, this is true even not just in the Ben Gamla schools, but alternative schools that are opening up all over, which are offering hopefully quality education at a reduced price, and they're also facing pressure. So, it's a very, very fine line that we're walking. But now you told me, actually, that you decided after it was all done that you're not sending your kids to the Ben Gamla school. One, I guess, because it didn't open in Boca Raton, although you probably could have sent them to Boynton Beach. But you decided to do some homeschooling, right? Is that what you're doing now?
Our kids were supposed to go to the Ben Gamla implantation. We had registered them there before we knew for certain if a Boca one was opening. And it sort of defaulted to our plan A when Boca did not have a Ben Gamla. For Judaics, we had always planned to homeschool the kids. So they were going to come home in the afternoon, and then my husband or I would learn with them for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was, because we just felt we didn't have the money for private tutors. So we had already looked into homeschooling a year ago when it wasn't clear if we could actually keep our kids in the day school for another year. And at a certain point when school ended last June, we realized that we did not have to default to Plan B just because Plan A wasn't going to happen. And we decided that we are going to try homeschooling. I have two kids who are already into grade school, and my youngest is starting kindergarten this year. So we figured we're already doing it for Judaics. We'll give it a shot for everything else and take the Veshinantam Levanecha very literally and see how it works out.
And really doing it kind of like 1 year at a time to see where
Absolutely.
It goes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Even 1 month at a time, I think.
Okay, listen, and if it's successful, you never know what can happen. You have other parents now who are interested in doing the same thing?
There actually is a group of Jewish people, Jewish families in South Florida who homeschool, and we have met a number of them already. And, they're all different levels of observance. Some are less observant, some are more observant than we are. And there's a lot of group activities and lots of opportunities for my kids to socialize with other kids. So I think it'll be, maybe the start of something new.
Okay, interesting. Now, the day school, the local day school that your kids were going, I assume that they went out of their way to do everything they could within their own limitations to keep you in the school.
Sure. I mean, they gave us a very generous scholarship last year. And in the previous years, once we had more than one child in the school, they were able to help us out. But the truth is that even with that generous, reduction on our tuition, it was still a pinch for us. I mean, having to choose every month whether it's to pay tuition or to make a mortgage payment on time.
Yeah, no question about that. And the rabbi, I presume, we don't have to get into any names or anything, but I'm saying, I presume the rabbi of your synagogue, your community, has been supportive of you and tried to help you. No. Okay, maybe not. Okay, whatever.
He's a very good rabbi, and he's got a very large community with a lot of different people, and I think he's in a very difficult position.
Okay, I understand that. Now I understand that completely. Well, I tell you, as I said, reading the article, you have to feel, because you represent so many other people. You really do. Your situation is exactly similar to other people. So, we've got to find some alternatives. Let's see how it goes with the homeschooling. Like you said, it's 1 month at a time and 1 year at a time. Look, if you could homeschool this year and you saved yourself X dollars, well, maybe next year it'll be a lot easier to send them to the yeshiva or to, other alternatives. So we'll see what happens. But it's very courageous of you to write the op-ed piece and to come on the program, and I'm sure that other people will be interested in contacting you. How do they contact you, by the way? What do they do?
Email, blog,
what's the blog?
It's on WordPress. It is VanessaCEO.wordpress.com.
Well, listen, good luck to you. I hope everything works out, okay?
Thanks, talking to you. Thanks very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.